and welcome to this week's episode of Admit One with me, Antonia O'Brien. Joining me all the way from LA via the power of Skype, we have the blind film critic himself.
See, these are movies that I believe that anybody could watch without having to look at anybody at all. And you'd understand it perfectly.
You may have seen some of his movie reviews on his YouTube channel and laughed along with him because his laugh is infectious and he is always smiling. It's Tommy Edison.
If you've never seen it, I'll give you a challenge. For any of these three films, listen to them. Don't look at them. Just listen to them.
Tommy, thank you so much for joining me for Admit One. And through the magic of Skype, I mean, you're in LA, we're in London, and we're able to communicate and talk films and life and everything from miles away.
From miles away.
From hundreds of miles away. Now, I would like to know a little bit more about you. So talk to me. Have you always loved films? Because you've got your YouTube channel, The Blind Film Critic, which is a huge success. Take me back to your love of film.
Well, you know, it started when I was a little kid. You know, my mother used to read to me as a child. You know, I think a lot of parents do that for their children and stuff. And there was an old, you know, the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, right? And it was a wonderful story, and it was great. And then when I saw it, you know, in the theater as a film, it brought everything to life for me. You know what I mean? All these characters that I knew from the book and everything, but they all sounded like I thought they would sound, and they all sort of felt like they, you know, it really worked for me. And so that was kind of my beginning of getting into film. And I just like the adventure that it takes on. I like the ride that you go on when you watch a good film.
Absolutely, especially something that is so visceral, that film. When I think about the experience of seeing it, you know, more so the audio side, I mean, it's Gene Wilder and it's so magic, isn't it? I bet, you know, it's the sort of film that I feel like I can smell.
You almost can. I mean, it's just the way they talk about all that, just everything in it. And I don't know. It's a wonderful, wonderful film. It really is. I haven't seen the original in a long time, but, you know, it's one of those evergreen ones, right? It's always good. It's one of those ones, when it's on telly, you'll just stop and watch it every single time.
Oh, it's a Christmas classic for us over here, definitely. So you were born, talking about your story personally, Tommy, you were born blind. That's correct, isn't it?
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, I'm blind since birth. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you say Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is the first film you remember seeing? Because I, you know, those first moments and films and memories, they do kind of stick with us, don't they?
Yeah, and that would be the first one I remember seeing. I, you know, going to the theater and stuff with my mom and everything. It was really exciting and stuff. Yeah, and it's quite special. I'll never forget it.
You have reviewed so many films. Do you prefer the process when you've loved the film, or do you quite enjoy sort of ripping it to pieces?
Well, you know, but they're both fun, aren't they? I mean, it's always nice to talk about something that you love with people, right? It's always nice mm-hmm. to be like, you got to see this. It's wonderful. What an experience, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, it is fun to, you know, to rip it apart a little bit too and have a little laugh. So, you know, it's fun both ways.
And I'm right in understanding that you don't really use the audio description. Is that right?
Yeah, I really don't. Although I'll be honest, this summer we tried for a couple of movies, mm-hmm. but the place we were going to, you know, most of the audio description devices didn't work that we used. And, you know, the movie's starting and now I see the thing doesn't work, so I can't go back. You know, I'll have missed 10 more minutes of the film. So, you know, but for me, I generally don't think you need it most of the time, you know, because like nobody audio describes my life. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, woman walks across screen. Actually, as part of the story, you can just listen to it and be immersed in it. And you don't need to hear kind of, you know, frame by frame exactly what's going on.
Well, no, but I mean, if a woman walks across screen, I mean, you know, if she's wearing a pair of high heels, you're going to hear that, right? That's a great noise. So it works. You know, you have to listen for the sounds and stuff, and that will help to fill in the story.
What has been the most difficult film for you to review?
Boy, you know, there's a couple things. Generally, the superhero stuff. It's not really my thing. Yeah, I went into it with an open mind and stuff. And, it, you know, it was a couple of years back. Reviewed the first Thor movie and the X-Men movie and a couple other things like it. And I just didn't think there was much to them. I was kind of bored and, you know, I felt left out. You know, because everything was on screen and, you know, these big, giant, long fight scenes where nobody talks. For somebody who can't see, it's pretty dull.
That's such a good point. I've never thought of it in that way because I'm also not a big superhero film fan. I can sit through them when my, you know, when forced, but that's true. They're very, very visual. They don't have the kind of, maybe they just don't have enough strength in their story. I've never really thought of it. Maybe that's why I don't like watching them so much.
Well, that's always been my argument. I always say if you have all this fancy stuff on screen, all this eye candy, as I like to call it, then you don't need much of a story because who cares? You got all these neat effects that are going to keep the audience enraptured. So it's all good.
Yeah, so that just falls flat, understandably. Obviously, we're going to go into this a little bit later, but what movies really resonate, do you enjoy the most, just in general?
Well, I like a film with a good story. I like a film with a strong story. I like a film that's well acted, well, the characters are well defined. That sounds good. The Foley art is really good to help tell the story. And the music also helps to tell the story too. So it's all these different elements combined that make a movie, you know, great. And content is king. That's what I always say. It's all about the story. That's the most important part. But all that other stuff helps to really make it pop and bring it to life.
Content is king. I couldn't agree with you more, Tommy. When you go and see films, do you always go with other people? Do you sometimes go alone?
No, I don't go alone. You know, I'd much rather go with somebody. When we do the reviews, for example, I'll go with my friend Ben Churchill, and he's the guy who edits the videos that you've seen. And we'll just go and sit and not talk through the entire film, right? If we're going to do a review, because it's going to be my perspective, my point of view. So if we talk and he starts to tell me things about the movie, then it's from his perspective and that's no good, right? So we don't say a word to each other. Afterwards, we'll talk about it. I'll ask questions if there are things that I wasn't quite sure about, but we don't talk during the film at all.
Gosh, you must be the perfect cinema buddy. My husband gets very annoyed when I'm talking in the film, understandably. So you do love to chew over... I can't shut up. Because it's usually the superhero ones. I don't really know what's going on.
Okay.
So, Tommy, I gave you the challenge before we met this evening to choose your three favourite films. Did you find that difficult? Because as a film critic and a film lover, I bet, where do you even start?
Well, it is. I mean, three of my favorites is really hard to nail down. I mean, that's like asking me three of my, what are your three favorite songs, the top three songs that you like the best, and there's been, nearly 60 years of rock and roll music now. And you're going to make me pick three. You know what I mean? So
right.
these are my three for now. But I love these movies. I love all three of them.
Well, where would you like to start? I mean, I've got them in front of me and I think they are excellent choices.
Well, let's start with the Kevin Smith film, Clerks.
Okay,
that's a great film. I love that movie. And these are movies that I believe that anybody could watch without having to look at them, anybody at all. And you'd understand it perfectly.
Tommy, for any listeners who haven't seen Clerks, can you give us a little synopsis?
Well, sure. It's about a couple of guys who work at a video store in New Jersey and here in the U.S., over on the East Coast. And... it's just sort of the stuff that happens to them. And one guy's really sarcastic and he's a great character. It's a lot of fun. I mean, the Kevin Smith film is real dialogue driven. His stuff is real dialogue driven to begin with. But this one is just fantastic and it's real low budget and it's awesome. There's not a single special effect in it, I don't think.
If you had to pick one scene from Clerks that you love the most, one kind of story, one situation, what is it that you remember?
Oh, geez. I mean, there's so many great parts about it. But, the one that comes to mind, I just saw recently, in fact, is when the woman comes into the store. Why are these two movies? I don't know. I don't get involved in other people's affairs. What about these two movies? Oh, these two stink. But these are the exact same movies. And he's just such a creep to her. And she, I just love the back and forth that he's so sarcastic with her. it makes me laugh. It really does. And there's nothing to see in that scene. There really isn't. It's just fun. Like, it doesn't matter what color shirt somebody's wearing or if the woman is, good looking or frumpy or whatever. Who cares? It's all about the interaction between the two of them and the little argument and fight that they have.
Did you go on to be a big fan of Kevin Smith's work off the back of Clerks?
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of his stuff, and I really do like him. I like his dialogue. It's nice. It's, it just moves right along. And, a lot of those characters appear in other films, too. So, it's nice that way.
The three films you've picked are so different from each other. With Clerks, would you say that sort of film, that kind of upbeat, it's light, it's funny, would you say that is a kind of genre that you do, you just love to go to the cinema and see?
Well, yeah, but I like to go see all sorts of things. But yeah, I do like stuff. I mean, listen, I like to laugh, and as you probably know, and I like to.
And you've got a great laugh, may I say, Tommy? You've got a very infectious laugh. It's brilliant.
Thank you very much. But I do. I like to play and laugh and stuff, and so yeah, I like that kind of stuff. It just makes me smile, and it's just fun. And again, see, all three of these movies, too, for the minute they start, the ride is, you're just boom, right along you go. And it's a wonderful little trip. So, and again, if you've never seen it, I give you a challenge for any of these three films, to watch them, well, to listen to them. Don't look at them. Just listen to them. Put them on and listen to them. Put on headphones or whatever you want to do and just listen to any of these movies that we talk about. And then you can let Antonia know and admit one and sugar, yes. We'll figure it out. But I would love to hear what you think about this. It's my little experiment.
Yeah, I mean, I plan now on meeting you and talking about these films and hearing what they're like when you're not able to see them. I plan on listening to them and watching them in the way you do, Tommy. Is there one film that you've seen over and over again? I mean, it may be one of these three. I imagine it is because I've obviously asked you to pick your favourites. But, one that you listen to and you watch and enjoy over and over again.
Yes, and it would be my second choice.
Really. Perfect.
And remember, these aren't in any order, right? These are just three that I really enjoy.
Yeah. They're not top
right,
three.
So let's just keep that in mind. But this one is, I've seen this movie 100 times and I just love it and it never gets old. And that movie is Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm.
And again, nothing to see here. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's plenty to watch and it looks good and all that kind of thing. But for somebody who's never seen, I feel like I'm not missing a thing by not being able to look at it.
And again, for anyone who's listening to this and hasn't seen the classic that is Scorsese's Goodfellas, how would you describe the film?
Well, it's all about this guy, Henry Hill, and, his life as a mobster in New York City, out in Queens. And it's an incredible film. The performances are great. I mean, De Niro's awesome. Joe Pesci's incredible. And there's other guys in it as well. And a lot of people that you've seen in other things, like there's a bunch of people that were in The Godfather, the original Godfather. And then people in this movie went on to be in The Sopranos. Like Chrissy Moltisanti is in this movie and from The Sopranos is Spider. Dancing and drinks over here, Spider. when he gets his ankle shot. That guy was in The Sopranos. Paulie Walnuts from The Sopranos has a non-speaking role. So there's all sorts of people that you know and love in this movie. And it's a great story. And again, from the minute it starts, you're on for the ride. And it just doesn't. It's a nonstop ride all the way to the end. And it's tremendous.
Experiencing the violence in Goodfellas, do you find, it's probably even more fierce because you're using your imagination and you're hearing all of that kind of knuckles on jawbones. Do you find you can really run and really enjoy the violence in films like Goodfellas that are kind of like, the mob squad?
Well, yeah, it's part of the story, right? I don't really think of it as, anything more than that. It's just what happens and what these people do. It's their lifestyle and how they get along and stuff. And there's some fights and there's some shooting and stuff. And I'll dig the hole. I don't care. I'll dig the hole. but it's a lot of fun. It's a fun ride. It's just, and the characters are real likable too. Henry Hill and Karen, they were never going to fight at Karen. I'm just doing quotes from the thing that for you. But it's another one that I really insist that you can watch and not even look at and really enjoy. If you've never seen it before, please try. I think you'll love it.
Who is your favorite director?
Yeah, probably Scorsese. I mean, I like what he does. I like the way he tells stories. So he is probably my favorite. The other movie on my list is another Scorsese film. So, that'll tell you everything you need to know.
I know. And such a different kind of Scorsese film. So tell us, what's your third choice, Tommy?
My third choice is a film called Hugo, which came out in, 2012? And I love that movie. I really do. And it was scary for me because, it was going to be in 3D. When I hear a movie's going to be in 3D, I instantly start to go, uh-oh, no, I'm in trouble now.
Right? What does that make you think? Because you think it's going to be all effects and no story.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yep, you got it. And this movie was quite the opposite. I mean, it was beautiful to look at from what I hear. It was absolutely, you know, the camera work was incredible. But from the minute it starts, again, I was right there, right along for the ride. And I understand there's some chase scenes and things in that movie, but the way that they were done, I understood them because I could just feel it. You know, I could get out of my store, rah, 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 you know, and they're running down the street and by other stores and, you know, in and out of things and stuff. And the music and all the sound and everything really helps to convey that and get you to be a part of that chase scene.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was that kind of backdrop. It's like you said, it's a beautiful film, and there's something very elegant about it. The pace and the music, it's got this kind of this sense of romance that rolls throughout, and whether it's like fast-paced scenes or, you know, just how the story kind of flashes back and then comes back to the present. It's not a film that I thought needed 3D, to be honest, because, you know, we both lived through Avatar, which needed which needed 3D, right?
I think I'd rather had you talk next to me during that film.
Now that can't have been much fun. I mean, that the only good bit to the birds flying, the kind of bird dragons flying through the air. I mean, that. Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah.
It's all blue though. It's all blue to me.
I mean, Scorsese, he has such a diverse landscape of films. Two-thirds of your favorites you've chosen from him, and he just continues to, what I think so amazing with Scorsese is he continues to surprise, and I personally can't watch a film and know immediately that it's one of his.
Yeah.
Do you feel you can recognize his work instantly?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, there's something about it. I can't quite put my finger on it. If I did, I'd be making movies. But but it's incredible the stuff he does. And again, he's a great storyteller. And his attention to detail is really, really nice.
Well, that's us talking about your favorite, well, I imagine one of, but a favorite director. Do you have any favorite actors who get your bum on the seat in the cinema? I mean, for me, Leonardo DiCaprio, everything he does, I want to see it because I know it'll be an excellent story. Which actors get you to the cinema?
Boy, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, I liked his early stuff. Like This Boy's Life with him and De Niro was, man, what a movie that was. Amazing. You know, De Niro is one of those guys. I like what he does. You know, I just like how he is. And he's so versatile. I think Dustin Hoffman is probably my favorite actor, though, of all time. See, because when De Niro plays a character, he, you know, you still go, hey, look, there's Bobby D. You know what I mean? But when Dustin, like when he's Rain Man, for example, holy cow, you forget it's Dustin Hoffman. You really do. And he does it with so, you know, when he played Lenny Bruce, you know, it just, he transforms and just becomes these people. It's amazing how he does it.
I mean, he's got such a distinctive kind of purring voice almost, Hoffman. He's got a gorgeous voice to listen to. And if you had to pick a favorite actress, who would that be, Tommy?
Favorite actor? Well, I mean, Meryl Streep, right? Does a ton of good stuff. And she's, you know, she's very versatile too. And she's very transformative as well. You know, like in Devil Wears Prada, man, it's a completely different character. So, you know, I'd say she's up at the top for me.
Dustin and Meryl. That is a killer combination.
That's good, right?
It's a great combination. I mean, Kramer versus Kramer, you're going straight back there. I mean,
that's right.
They're two of the greats, right? Yeah, they get
two
me to
legends.
The cinema. Two absolute cinema legends. Tommy, if you had to pick one of these films to recommend to a blind person, for them to watch for the first time, which do you think you would choose?
Tommy. You are, man. Let's see. It would be, you know what? I think Goodfellas. I think because it's so much fun and so exciting and it's, you know, it just boom, boom, boom. That would be the one I'd recommend.
Tommy, thank you so, so much. With every guest, I ask them which actor or actress would play them in the movie of their life. So what do you think? Who would play you?
Who's going to play me in
the
movies? Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon.
Well, no, they say we look alike, so I just figured I'd pick him.
Because you're a good dancer, Tommy. Is that why?
No, I'm a horrible dancer. No. I sit out. I'd much rather have a drink with you than dance. I can't dance. Don't ask me.
You've almost had me fooled. That was a pretty thorough way of a Brit saying dance.
I do, as much as I like music too, I just don't like to dance. It's something I never really got into. But people say I look like Kevin Bacon. So I think that would be who would play me.
You know what? Kevin Bacon isn't even as good looking.
You sweet talker. You're a married woman talking like this.
I know. What am I like? I'm going to get in trouble. Tommy, thank you so, so much for your time today. It was a real, real pleasure to meet you and talk to you. I mean, the insight behind these films, you're a Scorsese lover and clearly a massive film fanatic and not someone I would talk to in the cinema.
Now, we can talk in the bar afterwards.
Yeah, that's fine. After we've had our popcorn and our M&Ms.
That's right.
Oh, you take care, Tommy. Thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute delight.
And you. Thank you.
That's it for this episode. Next week on Admit One.
What's interesting is that Hollywood these days tends to provide a happy finish to a film, doesn't it?
Sky Sports presenter, as well as fellow podcaster with Zestology, Tony Wrighton.
Whenever I come out of films and it's not like that, I often think, it's way better, that film, for the fact they didn't give it the uplifting ending which Hollywood audiences and focus groups demanded.
Don't forget to subscribe to Admit One on iTunes for more movie memories from my stellar lineup of guests. Admit One with Antonia O'Brien is an Audioboom production.